Welcome to the Representing Rural podcast by Rural Community Alliance, and we're continuing our series on talking with those who are running for public office, who are currently sitting public servants. And today we have the pleasure of speaking with Representative Mary Bentley. How are you today?
I'm doing great, Candace.
Thank you for joining us today. So we'll get right into it. What area do you currently represent, and what's the district number? And I know with redistricting and everything, what's the new number?
Everything. So I currently serve District 73, and I've been in the House. This is my seventh year. So I'll be starting my eighth year in January. So the area I cover now has Perry County, Pope County, the city of Atkins, all of Yale County, a good section also has a number of rural schools in the area that I cover. So starting in January, I won my primary, so I don't have an opponent in November. So I will be covering District 54. So District 54 has Saline County, the northern half of Saline County, all of Perry County where I live, Faulkner County, south of Conway, that's it, Faulkner, Perry, and Saline. So I'm still part of Yale County where I've covered for the past 8 years.
Okay.
So very, very a big change, but it's great. I've enjoyed really getting to know people, especially in the parent school district, which is just 9 miles from my house. I've really been engaged with that group down there quite a bit.
Yes. Thank you. So 7 years. So what has kept you around? Like what has made you, what has inspired you to run and keep running and wanting to serve your district?
It's been a very, very rewarding position. I didn't have any idea the influence that we might be able to have and be able to help the area that I live. I'm passionate about helping rural Arkansas in a number of different areas. So I've just seen it as an opportunity to make a difference. And I've really been inspired. And the longer I'm in there, the more areas I see that we need to fix. We still have a lot to do to make Arkansas better for our kids and for our future. I have 4 grandchildren, 2 more on the way. So I think I'm really passionate about making sure that we leave a good heritage for our kids moving forward.
Thank you. So we will get right into it. You all just had a special session. So I know there, tax cuts, and from my understanding, it accelerated the tax cuts, right?
Yeah, we had already did a deep dive into this tax cuts and see what could do, what would cost the state and how would it help us moving forward. And so we're looking at the huge inflation that my constituents and the whole of Arkansas are feeling with 8.5% inflation rate. And as a small business owner myself, I have an injection molding business, so I can see firsthand. I deal with hundreds of small businesses across the state of Arkansas. I know they're suffering along with families suffering. So we thought the best thing we could do for everybody across the board was accelerate the tax cuts and hopefully get more people money into their pockets so they can pay for gas and food as things just continue to increase in price. So that was the focus of this last session. And it forced a deal with school safety to set up some grant funding for schools to address the safety issue to make sure parents and teachers and everyone feel safe with the kids at school.
What's the process of districts? Is it an application process for them to have access to those funds?
Yeah, I mean, it's still in the ground level. We just want to be sure to secure some funding and set it aside to make sure we had it there. So the details have not really been out there yet, but it's going to be a matter of each school taking the time to see what's best for their school. I think we want to make it flexible because, as you know, for sure, what we need in rural schools is different than what we're going to need in large schools that have more funding. So we really wanted to available for smaller schools that are struggling a little bit more to have the funding they need for safety issues.
So with the we had a 1.6 billion surplus, so that was 50 million for school safety, and the tax cuts, how much of that
would that be? Didn't the tax cuts didn't affect the surplus at all. The tax cuts are moving forward. Okay. So that will be the surplus will still be there. That's really for, like I said, the surplus is one-time money because we all know we get quite an influx of federal funds for COVID. So it's really where a good part of that came from. So the tax cuts are for money moving forward. So it's not really going to dip into we did a long-term study to see how it would affect our budget moving forward. And so that's why we went ahead and felt comfortable accelerating those cuts because we knew what it's going to do. It's a moving forward thing. So it really doesn't affect the surplus.
Okay. So the rest of that moved to like the rainy day fund?
Yes. Majority of it did. Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Is there, like, how can we find out how much is in that rainy day fund? I know it's all public, but we know sometimes those things aren't easy to find.
Well, if you go, I think the easiest way for folks to go, I know that you guys are aware of the ArcLeg website, ARKLEG.org, that website. So every month we have what we call Arkansas Legislative Council. It meets at the end of the month, and all of the handouts that we get for ALC are live once we have our committee meeting. So to me, that's the best place to go. You can go even back up to each month, look at when the ALC met, Arkansas Legislative Council, when they met, and all the documents that we receive are public right there. You can print them out from that spot. Actually, that's where I go.
Okay.
They're organized well, and you can just pull them up and print them off. So
that's always the best place to go.
Uh-huh. To me, it's the easiest place to find that stuff, because you're right, it is tough to find. Even being a legislator for 7 years, it's still hard for me to find things. So I use that site all the time.
So a hot topic for the past month or so has been teacher salaries. And I know it's been quite a bit of discussion around it. And I believe, like, from what I've heard, the next step from the legislator will be that the completion of the adequacy study and then making some move in the next session. Could you talk about that a little bit?
And I think we're the adequate. I'm not on education, so my knowledge level of that is probably not as big as some other legislators that spend their time on the education committee, because I'm on public health and children, aging, and youth. But I went last week to the education committee purposefully to try and get some more ideas on where we're at. So right now we're pretty near done with the adequacy studies to see that where they were at, because we want each child in Arkansas across the state to have the same access to good quality education. That's what the adequacy funding is about. So we know that there's lots of issues being discussed in there. So it's really not any details. When they get done with completed with that, then we'll start getting more details. Again, that site that I told you about, that arcleg.org, when the education committee meets, that's live. Everybody can listen in. You can get all the documents that they handed out last week. You go there even now and back up to that meeting and print off all the documents that we received on adequacy last Monday. So okay. I know that's a good spot to get some details. Right now, we're still in the middle of it. So I know that, you know, since I've been in office, I have voted for increase in funding for teacher salaries every year, because I'm passionate about that. I think it's a good thing. Last session, we did the biggest increase yet. So I think that we definitely have room to make some of that. But again, you and I both know that the challenges for small rural schools. So I want to address that. I think we have some huge things that I want us to look at along with that. So I want it to be a good package. I'd love to see some more flexibility for our smaller schools with what we've done with. We have so many things that they have to do to handle. It's a little tougher for them to handle than a larger school with a big income. So I want us to look at what we can do is we have some waivers and some flexibility for our smaller schools to still give our kids a good education, but allow them to maybe do things a little bit differently. And just, I think sometimes we have such a cookie cutter approach. It makes it tougher for our rural schools.
Yeah. I had a conversation with another representative last week, and he spoke of a different funding matrix for schools, smaller sizes. What do you think about that? Like making a different matrix for smaller schools?
I think we need to, I docked with, some folks that actually did the original funding years and years ago. And when they originally planned, it was set up per school, not per student. And when we did it per student, we really hurt our smaller schools. So I think I'm definitely in favor of looking at some serious changes in our matrix to help our smaller schools. I would 100% in favor of that. So there are some representatives like Representative Rick Beck, you might want to reach out to him. He's really good with all the numbers. He's really been in depth and able to put out a package to maybe help make that happen.
Okay. That goes right into my next question. What are some big or hot issues that you feel will be going into the 2023 session?
I think education is going to really rank top up there, what we want to see for our schools and how to make things better. You know, I think the pandemic was such a hurt, the way we handled it hurt so many kids. I'm sure you've looked at the numbers that have come back to see schools with 64% of our kids not reading at appropriate levels is really concerning to me, and the numbers are so. We've got to look at mental health, I think, and that goes across the board, but especially for our school kids. We have some of the most unfortunately some of the most drug addicted kids that are committing suicide. So many things going on, and we've got to really look at mental health. So no, mental health is a big thing to help. What can we do to help each other out and to quit dividing and being hateful? But what can we do to really encourage each other? So that's going to be really a big focus, I think. Education, mental health, as well as just safety all across the board. So, I think we have a new governor coming in that's really energetic and excited. You know, I think that brings some good enthusiasm to the legislature. So we've had I don't know that you know, but for years, Arkansas legislators only served for 6 years. We had a 6-year term limit. So it really limited the amount that legislators could get up knowledge on things to really make a difference. But we have some legislators now that have been around 10, you know, I've been 8, 10 number of years. It really makes a difference. So we can really study the issues and make a big difference. So I think I would look forward to some really big initiatives coming forward into this next session.
Okay. So if you could choose 3 things that or bills that you would like to get passed next session. Well, are you at liberty to, you
can well, like, it's not really, I think we're not at the bill point. I think that we just want to look at things. I'm very, you know, I'm looking at now. So we're in the research stage now. Okay. Mm-hmm. Some of my colleagues have a November opponent, so they're going to be doing some campaigning. Thankfully I don't have that. I don't have a November opponent, so I can start looking at the policy. So I'm at liberty to do it, but I'm now looking at, I know I went to a conference for legislators in Atlanta a couple weeks ago, and we're looking at what they were doing in some other states. To me, that's the best way. What we can do, because we know that Arkansas has a lot of room to get some better education for our students. So I was looking at the state of Virginia, was doing some innovative funding. So they're doing some things. What are some things or some real initiatives that schools can do, what some teachers can do, and some funding behind that? So I want to look at that. That's one thing I'm looking at right now. What are they doing in some other states to do some flexible funding to help schools with some new initiatives? I know that I'm not sure if you looked at my, what I've done in the past, we're looking at farm to school, agricultural schools, or things that we can do. Mm-hmm. Let's get some real hands-on things for our students. I think it's important for us to kind of break out of the box of what we've been doing for forever. You know, kids sitting in a classroom or behind a desk and listening to a teacher. I think we really need to look, how can we teach a little bit different and make things more flexible and more exciting for our kids and get them engaged? When I visit with superintendents and principals, I'm having a real problem with attendance and with behavior problems. I know a lot of it has to do with was exacerbated with COVID, but there's some things that we can do to make school more fun for kids and get them excited about it. And that's really what I want to focus on. That's what I'm looking at right now.
More of an experience. So, yes, mm-hmm, for sure.
Yeah.
So 5 to 10 years from now, what would you say you would want to see for our education system, for our rural communities? To thrive, like what would you want to see?
I would love to see, you know, I live near Perrin, so I'm really excited what they're trying to do with their charter school down there, something fun and new and different. So I'd love to see lots of different choices, more flexibility for parents to move their kids from school to school to what works best, because one child, what works for one child might not work best for another child. So I would love to see some real innovative things out there and some different schools doing different things where parents can have flexibility to put their child what's best to meet that child's education the best. So I would love to see that. I'd love to see our schools focusing on health a little bit more. I've been done that past Healthy Active Arkansas Schools last session as well, just trying to get, I know we have a lot on their plate. Students have, teachers have so much to do with our standards, but what can we do along the way to make sure kids are healthy as well? I think Arkansas is really could benefit from that and lots of different things. I could list a whole host of things, but I would love to see our schools, again, innovative, fun, focusing on the whole child, getting them healthy as well, you know, that so they can learn better. And just excited about the country that we're blessed to live in. I know I've been able to go to some other countries and see where other countries live, and I don't think our kids have any idea how blessed they are. So I think we need to look at the positive things that we've got for, and also all work together. I'd love to see a place where we all are working together, are excited about where we live and what can we do to make things better. That's what I would love to see.
So more involved constituency, that's something that we need before. What would you say to community members and youth leading into the next session?
I mean, I'm a grandmother, so I'm engaged with my children here and try to be engaged with students. I mean, students are so hungry for anybody to come out and be a mentor to them and to work with them and to make things better. I think too often we get busy griping and not trying to make a difference. So I'm always trying to say, what's the solution to the problem? Don't give me just the problems. What's the solution to that problem? And trying to get people to go to school board meetings, even if they're not a parent, if they're just a taxpayer, I think they have a lot to give. So I think I'm trying to encourage folks just to really be engaged and involved and make a difference across the board. But I think doing that will make us all better for sure. And I'm excited to see what I see even down here in Perrin, the community near me that I'm helping to work with now, just to see everybody across the board coming out to get the school cleaned up, to get it ready to make a charter school a possibility out there.
Do you think that would be the pathway forward for some of the places that have been forced to consolidate and annex? Like,
I would hope so. You know, I see, you know, I passed a agricultural charter school bill as well, trying to help. So I think that's something we can do in some isolated school things. I think that's, you know, when we lose a school district, like we've lost here in Perrin or Fish Valley, there's another one in my district that consolidated, the property values just diminish greatly by 30%, and then people aren't moving in. It's just cause it's just a ripple effect, you know. It, so I want to think a thriving, fun, innovative school, I think, will bring more people out there. You know, now that so many people, I know all of my children right now are working from home online.
Yeah.
And so, which is great. So if we can get, I'm working as well, I think to couple with that is good broadband. So if we have good broadband out here, I think people are looking for a way, and more people are doing that, right? Working from home. So if we have great internet access out here in rural Arkansas, and we have a good positive school, I think we'll see more people moving out there. And I hope it'll reverse the trend that we're seeing of people moving away from rural areas.
Yeah. Do you think we have enough funding to like answer the broadband issue in Arkansas? I think it was, what was it? 300 million they said we needed. I can't remember.
I think, yeah, with the federal funds that have come through, I'm really excited about what we've done in Arkansas, where we passed the bill to get a plan for the whole state. Because before we're kind of doing like a shotgun, right? We had a good grant writer here, get some funding. It was here and there, hit and miss. And it was not a good plan. And I'm really excited that now we have a plan to get the whole state covered. And I believe with the recent federal funding this came out combined with our state funding, I believe what we do.
Okay. So probably this time next year we'll see some great changes.
Yeah, I'm sure pushing for it. I think so. Yeah, I really do. And this, again, sure. It's going to be a good answer to me to bring folks out. To rural Arkansas. It's so beautiful. I mean, I wouldn't want to live anywhere else. So
yeah, same here. I moved back in 17. So I'm not sure if water is an issue in your district, but I know where I'm from. I'm in the south, the Delta region of the state. Right. And like water systems and the quality of them and the water systems collapsing, that's an issue.
Right. I know they're working now on some funding with that. In fact, I'm going to go see Secretary West Ward on Wednesday. So there's a number of grants working out on water as well. So I think that, you know, that the rest, a good chunk of the remaining amount of the ARPA funds that we have, the relief funds, I think will be used towards water. It's what I'm feeling now with it, and I can't promise that, but I know that I'm all in favor with that. I have a sewer issue in the city of Mayflower that had some flooding in 2019, so we're looking at that as well.
Okay.
So yeah, smaller communities that have a little tougher time don't have the general revenue that other larger communities do. Let's help them out. So I believe there's a good consensus of legislators that feel that some way to get it done.
I'm about to wrap up. I keep thinking of questions I want to ask you. I know you passed the bill, was it last session or the session before that, around levies? And before that, I don't think I was really aware of levy boards. So can you explain that a little bit?
Sure. I'm that's really good to know, because we had a huge flooding in my district. We were Dardanelle. The dam that busted was in my district there in Dardanelle. So we had some huge impact there. So in Perry County, where I live, we have a good amount of levy problems over here too. So a levy board is landowners that live along the levy, and they get together and they're responsible to making sure the levy stays intact. Unfortunately, over the years, levy board members died and people didn't even know who was on the board. And so there's some real issues there. So after we had the big flood in 2019, we got together and I was on the levy task force that the governor put together. It was a very thorough task force we went through. We had county judges on there, assessors, sheriffs, just about everybody can think of across the state to look at and say, where in the world are the levies in Arkansas? Who's on the levy boards? And so we just did a deep dive on that. What can we do with legislation? Because we had legislation that was like 40 years old. So we went over the legislation, we updated the legislation to make sure that if who's on the levy board, when did they have to make sure all the forms that they had to file were done at the same time. We had some, you know, we had to add a little teeth in there. So we had to make sure that if we didn't get the files and the funding that we have available would not be released by the tax assessor until they get those forms turned in. So we're getting to know who's who, then make sure they went out and looked at the levies themselves to make sure they're all intact.
Wow.
There's a lot engaged in that. Just make sure if somebody passes away on the levy board, it allows the county judge to replace that person so the levy board can keep going.
So does every county have a levy board? Or
no, it's not every, no, not every county has a river going through or necessarily need a levy board.
Okay.
Those counties that have the landowners along the riverbanks or some tributaries, those that have levies would have a levy board.
And the judge?
You can go to the county judge will definitely know who, if you have a levy board and who's on it. And they would know
they appoint the county judges appoint the members to the levy board.
If somebody passes away before they can have an election, that we made that possible.
Okay.
For that to happen. So the levy boards are required to turn a form into the county clerk's office every year, and for the judge to review that, and it goes to the RNC Natural Resources, Arkansas Natural Resources Board, for them to hold the forms. So we have a great, we have some good levy boards here. In fact, I'm meeting with our levy board here next month, just to get to know them along the Arkansas River. So that, you know, it needs to be preventive. We can't fix a levee in the middle of a flood.
Right.
You know what's involved. We're gonna make sure they're mowed. So it's make sure we have the funds there to keep it bush hog, to keep the trees off of there, to make sure it's intact and somebody's out there inspecting it. So yeah, we have some levees that had floodgates that were years really old, weren't functioning anymore. So we need to know what we need to do to fix them all. So it's just really doing a good inventory. And you know what in the world the shape of the levees are in Arkansas.
Yeah, I live, I think, in between levees, two levees.
Uh-huh.
And it was 21 or 20. The flooding was terrible. I had to leave my car like at the post office. And you know, my dad had to get us home in his truck, but it was pretty bad.
Yeah.
I see now that they are digging ditches and things like that to kind of alleviate some of that flooding, but that I was just very interested about the levy boards because I didn't know much about them until, you know, your legislation, and I'm affected by, you know, a levy every day where I live.
A large part of Arkansas is affected, but you can go to your county judge and he'll be able to know what levy boards exist in your county and who's on them. So, and what they're up to, maybe.
Yeah, what they're up to.
So yeah, the county judge is all about, you know, highways and water and what's going on. So they should be a good resource for you.
Well, thank you so much, Representative Bentley.
I enjoyed getting to visit with you.
That you want to add or that you would like to say to people leading up to the election? And, well, even though you're good for the next
time. Yeah, I'm good for the next time. Next I would term, know.
But is there anything that you would like to add?
Well, I'm just excited about this group and keeping everybody engaged and involved because we're all better. Even if we go to quorum court meetings, just to kind of find out once in a while, find out what's going on in your county, see what you can do to maybe help. So letting your neighbors know what's going on is a big thing. So thanks for all that you do. I love our state. I'm really just an honor to be state representative. I really enjoy it. So
thank you.
And anybody has any ideas, they want to shoot to me on Facebook or whatever, an email. They're happy to look at my go on arcleg.org and check out some of that stuff. You can find my email there. And any ideas you want to give me, I'm all open. Because the best ideas come from constituents at home, no doubt.
For sure. We'll be in contact with you.
All right. Thanks, Candace. Have you a great day and a great school year.
Right. Thank you.
God bless. Bye-bye.
Thank you for joining us for another episode of the Representing Rural Podcast. Again, this is not an endorsement of any candidate. It's just an avenue for us to let the people hear from people who are rural candidates and representing very rural places across our state. So we are 84 days away from the November election. So again, our first rural power move is to make sure that those around you who are of age, that they are registered to vote. So October the 10th is the last day to register to vote to participate in the November election. October 24th is the start of early voting. So if they want to participate in that, that would be great as well. But something that RCA is doing is, of course, with our engagement drives, making sure that people who are of age are registered to vote, but also making sure that they're equipped with the information that would help them make a decision or that would allow them to be more knowledgeable in making the decision at the polls. So, and that's by providing information around the ballot initiatives and also making sure that they're aware of any voting laws that came into effect after the last legislative session that may affect them. So not only making sure that people are registered, but if you have the influence, and all of us have influence, all of us have some influence. So making sure that first that they're registered and that they actually follow through with voting, because it's very important that all of our voices are heard and we have a say in who represents us, who are these people that are elected to represent us. So make sure people are voted. Make sure that you do all you can in your community to make sure the people actually are able to vote. And also check your voter registrations, please. Want to make sure that they're up to date so there are no problems when you get to the polls. If you already are registered, just make sure everything is free and clear around your current registration if you are registered. And the next power move would be to make yourself more aware and comfortable with the people who are running for office in your community. If it's the school board, if it's the mayor, city council, make sure that you are more comfortable and that you take time to learn more about those people who are running to represent you, essentially. So that would be my next power move. My final power move for today is to become more knowledgeable of the people who are running for public office. Because at this point, I think last Wednesday, August the 10th, was the last day for people to throw their hat in the race, especially for like the municipal races and things like that. So we know at this point who is running. We know. Everywhere across the state of Arkansas, we know who is running, not contested, everywhere. So you know who's running. Get to learn a little bit more about all of those people who are trying to represent you on one scale or another. Yeah, that's all I have for today. We're very excited about continuing our engagement drives where we're able to connect and with the communities that we work with and around civic engagement and, you know, making sure your voice is heard out here. So until next time, you all take care.